point in time, I'm going to come back. She's going to have a baby. And that's where she laughs. I'm old then. She was old back then. Now she's 90 and going to have a baby. Now, it's interesting because promises will get you friends. Have you ever promised somebody something? Doesn't it? You can count on me. I'll be there. But promises kept, reliability will maintain friendships. That's very important. That's why God has a lot of friends. He maintains and he's reliable. If you have ever waited on God for a promise, it's like, man, that's the kind of deity, that's the kind of person I want in my life. God keeps his promise. He's reliable. Now, Abraham and Sarah weren't that reliable. There's nothing to keep God back from fulfilling his promise to you, to us. You remember when we were studying Abraham early on, we saw that in chapter 12, he kind of panicked. Famine in the land, they go down to Egypt. Remember that? Left the land and said, hey, this is your property. And that's where Abraham lied. Hey, Sarah's my sister. He did it again in chapter 20. Didn't go down as far as Egypt. We were there. Remember that? Sin repeated. Chapter 20 says, this is my sister. And then we have Sarah kind of panicked a little bit in chapter 16. Says, you know what? We're waiting a long time. Maybe we ought to help God a little bit. Why don't you go into my handmaiden, Hagar? And that's how God's going to fulfill this promise. A lot of descendants. And then sometimes we can have a little problem when we kind of help God along. When we realize, hey, he's promised something. I think this is how he's going to work the plan. So we have to be careful about that. It was said about a woman who was looking for a husband, so she went on to a computer dating service and put in there just a short and sweet description of the guy that she's looking for. I'd like a short man who loves to wear formal attire and is really into water sports. And boop, out came the computer with a penguin. So you want to be a little more specific. So when you look here in 2 Timothy, I love 2 Timothy 2:13. It says, when we are faithless, God is faithful. He can't deny himself. Amen. Man, I'm going to promise something, and I'm going to stick to it. So that's important. When we talk, God is reliable. That is really worth celebrating, getting very excited about. We've got to remember that God is reliable. It's important for us to recall on that. God promises, man, and we've got a promise bank right here in the Bible. There are listed 31,700 verses in the Bible, and there are numerous ones, both in the Old Testament, about a promising of 23,000 verses, about 8,000 verses in the New Testament. There are 7,400-plus promises to humanity. You can really live on that. You really can. You just pick one promise in the Bible. That's a powerful thing. Over 7,000 promises in scriptures. That's enough to live on. God is reliable. He's promised us something. Do you know a promise today? Sometimes people say, oh, yes, I do. I know certain Bible verses. I kind of laminate them on a card. I even memorize them. But the important thing is to live on the Word of God. Story about a Blackfoot Indian chief. His name is Crowfoot, great dignitary. There's real tributes to this chief. And it was said about the chief that not only did he keep back from war with settlers, but he, during the time with Sitting Bull, decided not to go to war against America. But in Canada, the Canadian Railway wanted to bring their tracks right through Blackfoot territory, and he permitted it. So in exchange, Chief Crowfoot received an any day, anywhere you want to go, railroad pass. And so he decided, he put it in a little leather pouch, strapped it around his neck. History goes with Crowfoot that he never used it, but he always wore it. Isn't that nice? There's a story there. Sometimes that's the way people are with promises in God's word. We'll get a promise, we'll write it out, we'll put it in a little leather pouch, and then we get a leather binding on our Bible, we'll put it right there. We never use it. God is so reliable. There's some wonderful promises that are there, and so we have to be careful. Don't forget, it's worth celebrating. Man, you can rely on God. Get into a promise. Check out the Word of God. Number two, God is punctual. Let's look at verse 2. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time. Look at the word set time. That means there was a time God set, and he's going to stick to that. He's punctual. He will be right on time. He promised you something. If you know there's a sequence to that, he's coming on in the set time of which God had spoken to him. Now, that's amazing. He actually upped the ante in chapter 18, verse 14. Remember when God said, hey, Abraham, this time next year I'm going to visit you and Sarah's going to have a child. That's when she giggles. Ha, ha, ha. But here it is, the set time. Now, that's worth noting. That's worth really saying, wow, God sticks true to that. I always enjoy Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. It's worth writing down. It's worth reminding yourself, which says, therefore, do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises, plural. So there's two ingredients. If God says he's going to provide you with something and you're hanging on to something, how do you inherit that? Well, we need faith. I got it. And we need patience. That's the tough one, man. It's like, Lord, thank you. I'm going to faith it out so that you can give me more patience. To wait for those promises to come through. How significant. Many times you can see certain adults, their little childhood experiences of kind of kicking up a temper tantrum because they don't quite get what they want on demand. Adults can be that way too. Like, well, God's not too faithful to me. He's just kind of really holding out on me. Well, just want to remind you, God's not going to be early, and he's certainly not going to be late. He'll be right on time. He's going to be punctual. He's going to be there when you need it. The Apostle Paul wrote under the anointing of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 4:4, when he says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Why didn't God bring his son a few months after the Garden of Eden episode? Took a while, but he came. And he's always right on time. It's amazing how Jesus knows time. He always described that. He would say things just like this. It's not my time. My time is not yet. There's one city says, it's your time, it's not my time, but it's your time now. Has God said something to you like that? This is the time. This is the time. God's punctual. Now, why would God wait 25 years to bring this couple along to where finally the dad is 100 and the woman's 90? Why 25 years? It's a fascinating thought. Why 25 years? Well, I just think it's important that God kept the appointment the right time. At the right time, verse 2, it says, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. God has a time frame for you. He knows your time and when he's going to bring and fulfill that promise. My father, he was notorious, running a business, but notorious for being late. I remember my mom, Leo, that's my dad's name, we're going to be late again. And he just had to have everything just right or he's still working something out. And I kind of like inherited that and I'm trying to get over that. I remember dating Ainsley during Bible college days and Friday was our date night because we were full-time students. Then we'd go off to work after school was done and we were also volunteer youth pastors and driving in from Pasadena to Azusa, and then Friday, that was it. That was our time, and I was notoriously late. Matter of fact, all the girl dorms said, oh, Paul's late again, and then I'd start coming, where's Ainsley? Oh, she's waiting for you on the second floor. Oh, so I realized I didn't want this spirit of lateness on me, so I'm doing better. I want you to know, sometimes people think that's the way God is. He's going to be late. God's going to be late. He's punctual. Punctual. Well, when is it going to happen? That's where faith and patience. Woo-hoo! Faith and patience need to be applied. Charles Spurgeon says this, there is no loose threads in the providence of God, no stitches that are dropped out, no events are left unchanged. The great clock of the universe keeps good time, and the whole machinery of providence moves with unerring punctuality. Cool story about the Clark family. Clark family wanted to just migrate all their 9 children, plus the 2 parents, 11 of them, from Scotland to the United States. So the father worked hard to secure passports and passage on this great steamliner. So the day came, 5 days before, the youngest boy gets bit by a dog. In those days, they were afraid of rabies, so the entire family of 11 were quarantined for 14 days. They missed the ship. The dad was so mad. He was angry at the boy for getting bit. He was angry at the dog for biting his son. He was angry at God. And they realized since that ship took off from Liverpool, England, 5 days later, they got word that the unsinkable Titanic sank, and they weren't on it. And hundreds of people lost their lives. Well, that father's anger turned into jubilee. He was hugging his son. He was hugging the dog. He was thanking God. Amazing how it is. You'll get to America, but could be a reason why what you think is a delay. God's timing, so important. God acted in such great ways. Let's look at number 3. God is the initiator. Let's look at verse 3. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And Isaac, again, means laughter. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now, when we take a look at God as the initiator, that's the way God rolls. He will always initiate things. But he expects, here in this area, Abraham to be faithful. Be obedient. God initiates, Abraham be obedient. And here we've got a very obedient father. Why? Well, take a look. First of all, Abraham names his new son Isaac. That was the request of God. You're going to have a son, you call him Isaac. So he does. Second thing, he circumcises the boy at 8 days. God had requested that as well. It's an amazing thing. It's right there in chapter 17. This is going to be my covenant with every male. They will have this mark, and every child after 8 days. So that is a great thing for Abraham, for any of us. God initiates, and he expects us to respond in obedience. That's an important step. Sometimes we take a look and say, okay, well, what is God requiring? I think it really comes out to this, where in 1 John chapter 4, 19, we love him because he first loved us. That's my response. I think I'm getting how much God loves me. And I'm going to reciprocate by loving him back. It's a great thing. Sometimes we bargain with God. Have you like, Lord, if you save me from this despairing episode, I will do whatever. There's plenty of that out there. Help me, Lord, from falling, and I'll serve you. The set of these 2 sailors that were just on an isolated raft because their ship went down, and they were out in such a way, no hope of rescue. And they were getting really to the point of despair, and the one said, God, if you save us, I promise I'll be a better father. I haven't been there for my children. I haven't been there for my wife. And all of a sudden, the other sailor said, hold it! Stop talking to God. There's land right there. Now, he was indicating, say, you don't need to promise anything. We're saved. Look it, look it. But the land should have prompted that sailor to say, in gratitude, I'm all yours. God's the initiator. He'll initiate. Has he done something for you? You recall when he's done something for you? Should every morning. Should every three square meals. That's why we say grace. Amen. So when we look here, so important. So in number four, God is capable. Let's take a look at number five. Now, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Now, when I say God is capable, it's interesting because in verse 6, and Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. When God starts making us capable, he's capable, God is capable, but he starts to work in such a way, there is no human way possible for a 90-year-old woman to give birth. There's no way. That's a miracle. God's capable of doing a miracle. That's what we want to remind ourselves, how important it is for us to recognize what God does and how he does it. In dealing with that, how did he do it? It's because Abraham, he's 100. I like the description of Abraham in Hebrews 11:12 when it says this, therefore from one man and him as good as dead, doesn't that sound like a 100-year-old guy? Yeah. Was born as many as the stars of the skies in the multitude. That's pretty impressive. Now, it's a miracle for that age to have a baby. And the thing is sometimes what happens to well-meaning people like us is that we have a tendency to over-naturalize a real miracle. And a miracle is something that does not happen every day. People say, oh, the baby being born is a miracle. No, it isn't. That happens all the time. Check out the sunrise here at Huntington. That is a miracle. No, it isn't. That happens all the time. You should come visit us in Huntington Beach. People that come along and say, oh man, I found a parking spot in the holiday time right there at Costco. No, it's not a miracle. That's providence, but so we have to be careful to say, well, everything's a miracle because all of a sudden you don't see anything. But a real miracle is that does not happen every day. And I really do think when we have our spiritual gift of healing class next week, we're going to see some things. The timing of God and the pursuit of God. I would even encourage each and every one of us. People say, well, how do I get prepared for that? I would probably say fast. What? 50% of your social media, less radio, less online, less news reading, 50%, you'll be able to hear God. Spirit of God might fly over you because you just didn't catch him. You're just so wrapped up in just social activity. That's how it is. It's a trap. Be careful. So let's pursue the Lord and watch what he does. Webster's dictionary says a miracle is an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. So it's a bona fide miracle. And God is never a prisoner to the laws of nature. Remember chapter 18 when Sarah laughed? Why did she laugh? You laughed, Sarah. No, I didn't. Oh, yes, you did. Is anything too hard for God? Sometimes, when you're believing God for a miracle, you could be thinking, this one's too hard for God. Resonate with me on this one. If you've ever thought, this one's too hard for God. So when we look here, how did she do it? Well, I like Hebrews 11:11. You always look for answers in Scripture. Hebrews 11:11 says this about her. And it says so clearly, Sarah received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age. She received strength. Is anything too hard for God? Has God promised you something? How's he going to do it? Man, you'll receive strength. You'll receive strength. It was a double miracle, matter of fact. First, she gave birth to a child. Wow. And then she nursed that child. Check it out with me. Look at verse 6. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. Look at verse 8. So the child grew and was weaned. 90 years of age. That's a miracle. That is something else. God is so capable of doing what he promises to do. My question to you, can you think of anything that comes to mind right now that you just realize, I don't know. I don't know if God can do this. Really, think about that. Some people are struggling with thoughts that, well, my marital situation, I don't think it's going to improve. Or some dealing with the fear of cancer. God, this one's out of God's control. Some people dealing with deep depression. I don't know. I'm just so bombarded with feeling down. I don't think God's going to be able to do this. You're watching me. God's speaking to you. You're saying, it's too hard for God even to do. I'll have to live with this or even die with this. So it's important for us. Focus on the capabilities of God. Focus on, is God able? That's our story here. He's able, should bring back laughter, should bring back joy. That's why we get so excited. I love Psalm 5, verse 11 and 12. It says, let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those who love your name be joyful in you. For you will bless the righteous and with favor surround them as with a shield. Boom. There are times that I am not going to get my feelings down on this one. And it's tough. I'm going to be joyful in things we see about God. You get that? You will have laughter and joy into your senior years. Because you're focused on God. Let all those rejoice. Put their trust in God. I see it. Holy Spirit has to make it real to you. Problems can be bigger than God. That's how people get into despair. I see nothing but the problem. And God is so tiny. Well, finally, number 5, God is bountiful. I love the fact, we just read that, not only did God give them land and wealth and servants, and God gave them a son. There's no limits to God's grace. I just need to say, Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire or dream comes true, there is life and joy. Dream on, friends. Hang in there with God. Don't just put a Bible verse in a leather swatch and just kind of hang it on your net or put it on a little plaque in your home. Live by it. Put it in there. Psalm 30, verse 11, King David declared, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. Sarah says, God has made me laugh. And anybody who hears this story is just going to chuckle. They're just going to say, that is a good one. And if you hang true to what God's promised you, people that understand what you have pressed in with faith and patience, they're going to laugh with you. They're going to celebrate. They're going to be the church. Church is going to mourn with those who mourn, rejoice with those who rejoice. So exciting. It's the way it should be. So, a cheerful heart does good like a medicine. I want to pray with you right now. Let's take a moment and just thank the Lord as we just close our Bibles. Just think in reading the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was telling the whole community of people, don't be sad. Don't be sad. It's a day of celebration. And he says in Nehemiah 8:10, don't let this be a sorrowful day. Stop that. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Stop that. It's time to rejoice in him. Father, we thank you. We rejoice in you. And Lord, we recognize some things about you We'd love to see the outcome of stuff we've been believing for, living in, standing on in faith. Come. Lord, you always have a way of stretching our faith, and I now lead us in prayer. That, Lord, if there are things that we have given up on, bring back to our remembrance something that you pledged, you promised, we had high hopes in. And time has shifted our ability to rejoice in that promise. Lord, forgive us. Draw us back to you, not so much the promise, but to you, the person. Spirit of God, move. Spirit of God, move. And Lord, the greatest miracle is how you take a sinner and offer them heaven for free through Jesus Christ. Only you can do that. None of us can make it there on our own strength or good deeds. So, Almighty God, if there are those who are watching, those who are present in the chapel, that say, I want to be right with God, then, Lord, lead them now. You and them, talk it out. Let their faith be placed upon the cross of Jesus Christ for the removal of sin and acceptance into the family of God. Lord, we thank you for that. Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet. Would you join us while we sing? What a wonderful morning it's been. So glad you've come to enjoy some festivities here at Hope Chapel and to be around the Word of God and to sing and to celebrate. Man, that just makes life a lot of fun. What a gift it is for us to laugh, isn't it? It really is. Just to find something, even our little humorous declaration of raising hands, laughing at ourselves, get loosen up and have fun. We really are quite humorous when you take a look at it, and just it's great to be ourselves. But it's really worth bragging about. The one we follow, his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He somehow puts everything in order and has great promises for all of us. We are rich kids, are we not? Well, just before I pray you off a blessing, I want to welcome up Kelly Mueller. Would you come? And if Ben feels comfortable, we want to just introduce you. Kelly Mueller, son Ben Mueller, Ezra Mueller as well, son is up at camp. Jared Mueller is completing his master's program class going on, but we have the Muellers here for about a month, and we're excited. They are our missionaries to El Salvador. They've completed 5 years in El Salvador. They've started Hope Chapel, San Salvador. We're looking forward to allowing you to become more acquainted with them. We are hoping that you'll pause and stop and shake hands and meet Kelly and Ben Mueller there at our connection cart. And if you can, we do have a gala, a partnership dinner that's coming on the 20th. That is something that our GO committee is just trying to do. There are a couple of things for that. One is make awareness and have a great presentation. But also, we're trying to generate some funds because we're having literally a bona fide movie production coming on down there to make a documentary of great things that this family unit is doing in El Salvador. So we should be so proud of all of them. I want to just highlight, too, we will be having a GO team of ourselves. Hope you'll be able to join me there in October, the 26th, a Saturday to the following weekend of a Sunday. And it's going to be a unique trip. Kevin Edwards, who's doing our spiritual gift of healing workshop, he's working his schedule. We're hoping he will join us, and we are going to have a clinic unlike any other. You heard his testimony if you were with us for our lead meeting, how he just went down there and said, let's just pray before they go through the health clinic and the miracles that happen. So we're pretty excited about that. If you have signed up, made your $100 deposit, I am requiring you to be at these 5 Wednesday night workshops because I think you'll understand the wisdom of that. Well, thank you, Kelly, for letting me tell everything about you, but why don't you bring greetings and anything else you want to add?
Well, good morning. It's so nice to be here with you guys. We sure miss you guys. And hey, I want to invite you to the gala. It's going to be a fun evening to hear about what we're doing. And it is $15, but I promise I will feed you really, really good Salvadoran food. So you got to come, hear what we're doing, and just be excited for us. Pray for us. God is on the move. The church is moving. We're growing. We just moved up into a bigger facility, and we're excited. So we just want to invite you. And if you can't pay today, please come by and at least sign up so that we have your name in the system so that we can at least order food for you. So happy to be here with you guys. And hey, if you have a move in your heart to come to El Salvador, but maybe you're scared a little bit because of the things you've heard about El Salvador, I would ask you to pray and seek the Lord on that, because I wouldn't ask you to come to El Salvador if God wasn't going to move in your heart or if it was going to be too dangerous for you. So just pray and talk to Pastor Paul and see what God has for you possibly in El Salvador. If it's not this time, maybe another time. So we'd love to have every single one of you come.
Thank you.
Anyways, happy to be here with you guys. Come see me and give me a squeeze at the table if not anything.
Thank you, Kelly. Well, that's wonderful. Thank you, Ben. Well, I'm going to go ahead and let you make your way to the connection cart, and otherwise I'd have you pray. But let me pray you off a blessing. Thank you, everyone, for being here. What a great day. You made it a successful day in Jesus here. Thank you, worship team. Sean, way to go. Dear singers, thank you. Musicians, yep, go ahead. They put in the time and effort to bless us. So, Father, on this occasion, we want to thank you for Jesus once again. We've had communion with you. We've had time in your word. We had time in worship. Thank you, Lord, for the promises that have been renewed and our hearts drawn closer to you. We believe God. We trust God. And we live for you now. As we go, Lord, thank you for enriching everyone's week in ways that they would identify that is a miracle presence of God in my midst. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, everybody. We'll see you outside and see you soon.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.